Good morning. Welcome to St. John's Lutheran Church this morning. It's a little brisk. You've always known that I prefer the warmer day, the cooler days, because I can always put on a sweater. I like sweater weather. There we are. But it's wonderful that we are here together as we continue this green and growing season after Pentecost, as we continue to add our voice to those across all of God's creation. So I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad that you're joining us online. It is good to be together. Last week, we welcomed new members. And there was a name that I read, and the gentleman wasn't here, and I found out today it's because COVID. But now I'm going to call you up here, Dave. All right? I'm going to call you up here because the whole purpose of David Reed, would you please come forward? Come on. That's you, right? That's you. Yes, there we are. It's name and face recognition. All right? We want everyone to know who you are and that you're part of the gang. All right? So do you really want to be part of this congregation?
I do.
All right, this congregation, St. John's, will you welcome him and help him in his faith life? If so, say we will. There we are. Now, there's the paperwork I want you to fill out. And I'll eventually get you your box of envelope.
Oh, is that the one with the money in it?
Yeah, there we are. Always got to make sure.
Thank you very much.
Welcome. And thank you for staying safe and healthy and all the rest of that with the COVID. I appreciate that. All right. Next Sunday is the third Sunday of the month, so it's Youth Group Day. We have tickets to Vandemark Farms, and so we're going to spend the afternoon there. We're going to meet here at church at about 3:30 so we can carpool and figure out stuff like that. So come and join us for Youth Group. Thursday, October 19th, we're going to get together for a Bible study. One night only, 90 minutes, we're going to walk through the entire Bible. Now, not every word, it's not like I'm going to sit there and have this, fast reading competition or something. We're going to look at all of the big stories, all of the highlights, all of the things that bring the Bible into one. We'll meet at 7 o'clock here at church on Thursday, October 19, and I hope that you are able to join us and be with us for that. There are lots of other announcements written in your bulletin, and I hope you read through all of those. But we've gathered this morning so we might be in worship. So let us continue that worship by joining together in our gathering song. The song is Savior of the World. Let us rise and sing together. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Beloved God, from you come all things that are good. Lead us by the inspiration of your Spirit to know those things that are right, and by your merciful guidance, help us to do them. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
The first lesson is from Isaiah, chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. Let me sing for my beloved, my love's song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed out a wine vat in it. He expected to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. And now, inhabitants of Jerusalem and people of Judea, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? When I expected to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? And now I tell you, what will I do to my vineyard? I will remove its hedge, and it shall be devoured. I will break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will make it a waste. It shall not be pruned or hoed, and it shall be overgrown with briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the people of Judea are its pleasant plantings. He expected justice, but saw bloodshed, righteousness, but heard a cry, the word of the Lord.
Thank you, God.
The second lesson is from Philippians chapter 3, verses 4b through 14. Paul writes, if anyone else has a reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless, yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ in the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his suffering by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may obtain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. The word of the Lord.
Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew in the 21st chapter. Jesus said to the people, listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he leased it to tenants and went to another country. When the harvest time had come, he sent his slaves to the tenants to collect his produce. But the tenants seized his slaves and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent other slaves more than the first, and they were treated in the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, they will respect my son. But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and get his inheritance. So they seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Now, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? And they said to him, he will put those wretches to a miserable death and lease the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at the harvest time. Jesus said to them, have you never read the scriptures? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing and is amazing in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that produces the fruits of the kingdom. The one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and it will crush anyone on whom it falls. When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they realized that he was speaking about them. They wanted to arrest him, but they feared the crowds because they regarded him as a prophet. The Gospel of our Lord. The congregation may be seated, but I would love to invite the children to come on forward. Good morning. Good morning. There are two more coming. I know it. Morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, everyone. And how are you? Everyone's doing all right? It was chilly this morning, wasn't it? Oh. All right. Now, raise your hand if you know that your mom and dad love you. All right. Raise your hand if you know that your grandparents love you. All right. Raise your hand if you know that your sister loves you. Cool. I like that. Raise your hand if you know Jesus loves you. There we are. All right. So Jesus does. Jesus loves all of us. But do you know why Jesus loves you? Does Jesus love you because of your really cute and wonderful hairstyles? Can't be, because I think Jesus loves me too. All right. Does Jesus love you because, let's see, you eat all of your broccoli every time you have it for dinner? I'm. Oh. How about Brussels sprouts? No, even worse. Okay, gotcha, gotcha. Jesus loves you because Jesus is love. There's nothing that you have ever done that has earned Jesus' love. There's nothing you can ever do that will earn Jesus' love, and yet Jesus loves you. Every part of you, all around, all right? Because God is love. Because that's how Jesus sees you. He sees you as lovable and as loved and as someone that Jesus cares for, all right? I got this little plaque from my one sister. She's really good at giving me things like this, right? But it says, I asked Jesus, how much do you love me? And he stretched out his arms and he died on the cross. That's how much Jesus loves you. That's how much Jesus cares for you. Because then Jesus came back so that you have a new chance to be cute and adorable and love your neighbors and eat your broccoli. All right. All right. Okay, there you are. This is how much Jesus loves you. And now we get to go and share all of that love with the people around us. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you for loving us so much you were willing to die for us. We thank you for loving us so much that you rose again for us. We thank you for standing beside us. Walk with us today and help us to love the world. We thank you for this day, Lord. Amen. Thanks for being here. She really does love that broccoli, doesn't she? Yeah. Oh, goodness. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Where's the good news today? Where's the gospel? Where's the love? Because in our Bible readings today, we have the song of the beloved's vineyard in Isaiah. And that song ends with the hedge removed, the wall broken down, and the tower crushed. Where's the good news? We have a parable of Jesus talking about wicked tenants that ends sadly at best. Where's the gospel? Our gospel reading even ends with the talk of rejected stones and kingdoms being taken away. Where's the love? As Lutherans, one of the things that we pride ourselves on is that we hear Scripture as both law and gospel. And so sometimes when it is difficult for us to hear the gospel, it's because God is speaking to us by means of the law. Now, by law, I don't mean that God is somehow demanding that we perform certain particular actions or deeds. We've heard from God the commands to love God and love our neighbors. And we have all of the assistance that God has given to us to help us understand and to live that love in our lives. But when we hear the law, we hear God reminding us we've failed. We have not lived up to God's dream. Now, Martin Luther taught that the first use of the law is always to show us our guilt. No matter how good we think we are, no matter how good we think we have been, no matter how well we think we behave, we are sinful. We are guilty. That is law. Martin Luther went on, though, because for Luther, the second use of the law is always to drive us back to Christ. Once we realize our guilt and our culpability, we are led back to the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are led back to the free gift of grace. God's love is always about forgiveness and another chance. That is the gospel. And today I'm asking in those stories, where is the gospel? Because in Isaiah we hear a song about the vineyard of the Lord. Now this vineyard has every good thing provided. All is ready, all is good, very good in fact. But instead of good grapes for luscious wine, this good vineyard produces wild grapes. Now, if you've ever had wild grapes, you know that they are small, bitter, with great big huge seeds and are utterly worthless. That is the produce of this vineyard. And in the context of the song, in context of the metaphor that Isaiah is using, that is what the people of God are. That is us. Our lack of faith makes us small, bitter, with big egos, and ultimately worthless. We don't trust God to be God. We want to help God with all of our brilliance. We want to show God how good we are, great, in fact. So good that God is just going to be really impressed. What we really are, though, is wild grapes. Small, bitter, and worthless. This is Isaiah speaking law. This is Isaiah afflicting all of us comfortable ones. This is a wake-up call. In today's gospel reading, Jesus is still in Jerusalem and he is still talking to the chief priests and the elders who are now joined, we find out, by Pharisees as well. Jesus is telling them another parable. And this parable is Jesus speaking law, speaking judgment, hoping to wake these leaders and the people around him up. Jesus is building on that song from Isaiah as he describes another vineyard. Once again, this vineyard is set up with every good thing provided, and then it is left in the hands of tenants to care for it. In Jesus' parable, it isn't wild grapes that are bemoaned, it is wicked tenants. The vineyard produces, but those tenants want the credit. They want all the credit. They have no faith in the landowner, but they have faith in themselves and in their abilities. So when the servants come, they are abused, beaten, killed. When the son himself comes to speak, he is also killed in hopes that this will free the tenants to take over everything. Now, even the chief priests, the leaders, and the Pharisees can figure out that this story Jesus tells indicts them. If the vineyard is God's people, then the leaders are the tenants. Jesus is telling them that they rely on their own abilities, their own actions, their own ways of doing things with no faith in God or God's love at all. They have the mitzvot and they have the temple and they have all of their regulations and all of their contacts through the synagogues. They believe that they are responsible for God's people and they want the credit. They want the authority, they want the power. And as Jesus asks his question at the end of the parable, he is trying to wake them up to their sinfulness and turn them back towards God's love. Jesus is trying to wake them up from their unfaith and move them towards the grace and the faith available. It is the leaders themselves, as they answer Jesus' question, who condemn them. Now, it can be really easy for us to sit there and say, boy, they were not behaving very well, now were they? Or, my, what little faith they are showing. As if to say that all of this stuff in this parable is only about people who lived long, long ago. Whenever Jesus speaks in the tone of the law, I need to hear it as if spoken to me. We need to hear it as if spoken to us. Because we can be just as proud and arrogant about our actions, our understanding, our judgment of others, as the chief priests, the elders, and the Pharisees were. We see all around us people using Christianity to condemn with no gospel at all. Our unfaith shows through as we compare ourselves to others, always finding them lacking, but we're okay. At least I'm not as bad as someone else, can become a daily motto for us. Instead of turning to Christ, we find someone we look better than, and then rest on our own achievements. Paul mentions that same sort of thing in Philippians today. Because if anyone was finding that how they lived and what they had was praiseworthy, Paul had them beat. Paul had the resume, he had the family story, he had the history within the church to make anyone envious. And Paul saw all of that as loss. It was garbage to Paul. Because what Paul held on to, what Paul cherished, what Paul proclaimed to us all is Jesus. For Paul, his accomplishments were nothing, and God's love in Jesus is everything. Even when Paul was truly building God's kingdom for real, it's not what Paul does, but it is what God has done in Jesus Christ that Paul lifts up. This is where Paul points us, and it's also where Jesus is pointing. Jesus looks at the chief priests, the elders, the Pharisees, the crowds, his disciples, and he tells us that even though rejected, God's love is the cornerstone for our life and our living. Turn back. Even though Jesus himself is being rejected, he will become the cornerstone of our life and living. As Jesus suffers and dies, he shows us the depths of God's love, as well as the extent to which sharing that love may take us. And in his resurrection, Jesus opens the floodgates of God's love to us all, helping us to stumble in our arrogance so that we can rise again and follow Jesus, loving our neighbors as God has called us to. How many of you really like your morning alarm clock? How many of you dread it? Now, I suppose it's just a guess that retired people may like their morning wake up, but most of us would rather have the opportunity to sleep a little more than an opportunity to, you know, ignore the alarm, roll over, stay warm. When we hear Scripture speak law to us, it is an alarm. It is a wake-up call. It is an indictment of our guilt that we should not ignore. That alarm buzz of the law leads us back to God's love and forgiveness, leads us back to God's gifts of grace. That's why we need to hear the law, so that we can appreciate the gospel. This is why Jesus taught us, fed us, helped us, healed us. This is why Jesus was willing to suffer and die for us. This is why Jesus rose again to save us, so that we might move from unfaith to grace, so that we might hear the law and live the gospel, so that we might find our inspiration, love our neighbors, and make God's vision into our mission. Amen. Please rise. As we remember our baptisms, let us confess together our faith using the words we find in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Trusting in the transformative power of God's loving Spirit, let us pray for the Church, the world, and all in need. God of all grace, you are the source of life and joy. Strengthen the resolve of your Church throughout the world, that together we press on toward the goal of your heavenly call in Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy, God of all creation, you plant and nourish the earth as your own precious vineyard. Bless fields and orchards and the hands of those who labor in them, that your people are fed with an abundant harvest of good fruit. Lord, in your mercy, God of all the earth, you desire peace and justice between nations and peoples. Guide leaders of nations, states, provinces, and cities that they faithfully govern your people with wisdom, integrity, and compassion. And we pray now for peace in Ukraine and in Israel. Lord, in your mercy, God of all compassion, in Christ you lovingly poured yourself out like wine for your people. Have mercy on all who mourn, who struggle with their mental health, who cry out for justice, who hunger, and all in any need. Lord, in your mercy, God of all grace, there are so many people who need your healing presence. We pray for all who suffer illness and injury, or with accident and disease. We also pray for these who are known to us, who need your wholeness and health. We pray for Clint, Sharla, Stephanie, Judith, Juanita, Judy, and Rhonda. Lord, in your mercy, God of all steadfastness, you set Christ as the cornerstone and foundation of the Church. Build up this congregation as living stones, that it stands in the community as a witness to your enduring faithfulness and love. Lord, in your mercy, God of all hope, the saints who came before us lived and died with their hearts fixed on you. We give you thanks for their faithful witness, and we wait with hope for the great day when we join their voices in praise. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious God, into your hands we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your unending love and amazing grace. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us, pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now may the Lord grant that we see what needs to be seen and do what needs to be done. May the Lord bless and protect you all. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you all with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Stay warm this week, and may it be filled with blessings as you go into the world with hope.
To be God's blessing.
You've been listening to St. John's Lutheran Church, 120 West Water Street, Sydney, Ohio. May God's glory abide with us today. May the love of God be increased within us and extended towards our fellow worshipers. Welcome, children of God. We invite you to return and worship with us again.
With all your heart.